Welcome back to the show. We are another week closer to the college football season, although it still seems like it's a long way away. We're just about a month away. Let's see, today is the 4th, so we are less than one day, less than a month away from the first Saturday of college football. Today I am joined by Robert McElroy, as I am frequently on the program, and today we are going to discuss our top three college football storylines for the upcoming 2011 college football season. Last week we gave you our top five dark horse teams that we think have a shot to win the national championship, and this year we're going to tell you what we think will be talked about as a focused on in college football, and it can be on the field and off the field. We'll get into that. Robert, good morning. It's a rare early morning show. Hope you are well.
I'm fine, man. Always good to be on. I'm still just trying to get over some sleep deprivation. I spent two pretty crazy days down on our beautiful Alabama Gulf Coast, but I'm back and it's all good. I'm just trying to get everything back together, back in order here. But always good to be back. Last week's show was fun. The one before that was mad fun. Looking forward to a lot more, man. It's been great.
Well, it'll be a lot easier we won't have to be as creative as we are on the subject matter when we actually tee it up and toe meets leather.
Oh, I know. I'm ready for some like real football talk instead of like what we think is going to happen, what's actually going to happen. I'm looking forward to that too.
All right, well, we're going to get to the top three storylines of the college football season. I'm going to let you lead off, give your number three. We're going to, like we do on all of our lists here, just we're methodical like this. We like to work from least to greatest. That way we tease you so you'll listen to the entire program, because I'm sure you want to hear our number one, because that's just how much you think of us. So Robert, I'm going to let you go with number three first and lead off.
All right. Well, I think as far as storylines for the 2011 season, my number three here, can the SEC make it six straight national titles? You could be seeing a scenario where the SEC beats up one early in the season, and midway through, a bunch of teams maybe have one losses, and then SEC fans are freaking out like, oh my gosh, look around at Wisconsin and Nebraska. They're still undefeated. Look at Oregon and Stanford and Oklahoma. They're still undefeated. And people are just freaking out. And then little by little, you see more and more people beating up on one another. And it could be that maybe there's one or two still undefeateds left at the end of the season. I don't know. I'm just thinking that that's going to be one of those things that maybe SEC fans are on the edge of their seats about. Can they do it again for a sixth straight time?
You know, and I want to follow up on that. The SEC has been fortunate, I think, in recent years, because they've gotten a team to the national championship virtually not unscathed, but without major damage, except for, I guess you could point to the one exception being the 2007 LSU run when they had two losses and overtime and all that kind of stuff. But the SEC could, the way it's set up, we know how tough it is, it could every year beat each other up to the point to where there are no contenders who could play for the national championship. So you know, I think you make a great point, and to this point we really haven't seen an SEC team not get to the national championship because they have too many losses. But you know, you look at the Alabama, LSU, and let's throw South Carolina and Georgia in there for this year as the top four contenders. Well, you know, they play round robin. South Carolina, yeah, could lose to Georgia. Georgia could lose to Florida. Alabama could lose to Arkansas. I forgot about Arkansas. We'll throw them in there, too. And Arkansas could lose to LSU. I mean, they could all beat each other up to the point where you're right. You have, as you – well, take your example, a Wisconsin or Nebraska out of the Big Ten that goes undefeated. And I'm real interested to see if that happens, who gets the nod.
Yeah, I am too. I'm interested to see that as well. And you know, it could be the year. You just don't know. Six straight seems like a pretty remarkable feat, and it certainly would be. I think that a one-loss SEC team coming out of that gauntlet of a schedule would be very battle-tested to the point they would be very, very hard to defeat if you were a Wisconsin or an Oklahoma heading into New Orleans. So it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree, and you know, that was my number three as well. The SEC making it to six, so I'll just continue with the point.
Okay.
I think it will be interesting too. And you look at you have the Boise States, and TCU is still in the Mountain West this year. They haven't moved up to the Big East yet, so they're still in that conference for this season. Boise State, what if they go undefeated? How does that factor into everything? What if you have a Pac-12 team to go undefeated? You have Oregon or Stanford. A lot of people like Stanford this year. If they go undefeated, how does that compare if you have a Stanford, Wisconsin, somebody who is undefeated out of the Big 12? Take a Texas A&M, as we said. They're a dark horse last week. A Texas A&M. I mean, how does that factor against the SEC, a one-loss or even two-loss team like an LSU or Arkansas or Georgia or Alabama or South Carolina? It will be very interesting to see.
Oh, it'll be a lot of fun. You think this may be one of those years where we have like maybe a two-loss team in there along with a one-loss team, and this past year it was two undefeated. You think this could be one of those years? I mean, that's another storyline right there. Mm-hmm. Is everyone just going to beat the heck out of one another? I mean, only Oklahoma really stands out to me as like a preseason giant where they look almost perfect, but they still have question marks too. I mean, sometimes you had just a really dominant team going in. Oklahoma may or may not be that team.
That's true, and I think Florida State is getting a lot of hype, but I kind of am cautious on Florida State. Like you said last week, you said last week that you didn't think they were there yet, and I tend to want to agree with you. I think you need to be real cautious because they still have some parts that are unproven.
Yeah, Florida State, they're very close to being there, and we've seen how well second-year coaches do and winning national titles and that. And you know, I don't want to rule the Seminoles out, but I do have Virginia Tech as one of my favorite teams to get into that national title game, and you still can't overlook Tech. I mean, they're still one of the more relevant programs out there, one of the more consistent programs. But before we stray too far away, I guess we get into our number two favorite storyline going into the 2011 season, a potential 2011 storyline here. Mine here, I think this one, very similar to 2010, and it could continue into the future. Offenses just straight up outscoring really great defenses. For the first time in the BCS era, there was not a top 10 defense in the national title game this past year. Oregon was ranked 34th nationally. Auburn was ranked 60th. And we could see more of that. It could indeed be the new norm in college football. These spread offenses where defenders are having to tackle people in space, it's tough to defend. I mean, defensive coaches all over the country are having to find new ways to, well, not necessarily new ways. They just have to kind of up the ante a bit. So that could be something else we see in 2011.
Well, you look at the top teams, and you have Oregon and Oklahoma, Boise State. We know they use the spread. LSU at times with Jordan Jefferson can use a version of it, but they don't really run the spread. It'll be interesting to see what Steve Crackthorpe does down there. But you're right, and it's becoming that way. It will be interesting to see how defenses react another year to the spreads. Are they beginning to figure them out, or do they still have them snookered? But there are also variations to the spread. You know, you have the spread that Gus Malzahn runs at Auburn, but you also have the spread that Bobby Petrino runs at Arkansas, and I think they're totally different in their own ways.
Sure, they're both different, both rather unique, and we could see a lot of offense this year. I mean, defenses too. We could see some great defensive play as well from the likes of LSU and Alabama. Oregon, I think, had a great defense last year. So I'm not saying that defense is irrelevant. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that they're still having to adjust, and it could play out into this year and into the future.
Well, my number two storyline of the year is the defending national champion Auburn Tigers. It has been 65 years since a team that won the national championship did not have a winning record the next year. And I've said on this program before that I believe Auburn will have a better than 500 record in the upcoming season. But with all the parts missing, you have losing Cam Newton, the best player on offense, and losing Nick Fairley, the best player on defense, and then 16 other players to go along with that who contributed significantly last year. I think Auburn definitely has a lot of question marks, and with a swing game here and a swing game there, it'll be interesting to see which way they go. I could see them getting all the way to 8 wins, but I could also see them getting down to 5 wins if a couple of those games don't go their way early. So I think that's going to be an interesting storyline, too, to watch Auburn and see how they come off of that national championship run last year.
I agree. I think there will be a bit of a spotlight on the defending national champ. With the national perception is that without Cam Newton, they were nothing at all. But you look at all the senior leadership that team has, and you start to change your mind a bit on that. They do have a lot of question marks, even more so this year than going into last year. Lots of talent, tons of talent, but very young talent indeed. So no doubt there will be a spotlight on them. And they're one of the harder teams out there to predict, and I'm with you. I mean, I can see them winning 8 wins with a chance for 9, and if so, that would be a heck of a feat for them.
I think so.
And I think Auburn fans are, for the most part, being very realistic about the whole situation.
Well, what's your top storyline of the 2011 season?
My top storyline, and it's an unfortunate one. I wish I didn't have to put it on this list.
Yeah.
It's the new taunting rule. Whereas before, when you were heading into the end zone, you taunted or you turned a flip going into the end zone, even Kansas State's very own, I forget his name, who gave a salute to the stands and was flagged 15 yards. Used to be that 15 yards was implemented on either the extra point or the ensuing kickoff. Now those points are taken away, and it's 15 yards from the spot of the foul. That is a game-changing rule they applied, and it's a judgment call. It is up to the referee to decide what is taunting and what isn't. I think it could be detrimental. It could turn a couple wins into a couple losses, and it forces coaching staffs to be that much more disciplined on their players. Look, you celebrate going in the end zone, you're doing 100 gassers today, or you're doing 400 stadiums. So coaches are going to have to educate their players. Look, don't do anything that's going to cost our team, but at the same time, this rule, I have a bad feeling about it more than I have a good. It's just not good at all, I think, honestly.
Why is AJ Green calling in? No, I agree with you. It is an interesting rule, and you look at the calamities that have happened in the past, like the AJ Green judgment call, and that wasn't even
Oh, yeah.
We didn't even have the rule back then. The current rule that we're talking about when they moved the ball back, so AJ Green didn't really even get penalized as much as you might be today if you started hot dogging, so to speak, going down the field at the 20-yard line. Well, you get 20 yards. You get to go back 20 yards and start from there. I do think it's going to be really punitive, and I think you're right. It will have a significant impact this first year, and something that fans aren't ready for. I don't think they haven't really digested it yet, and I think it's going to be a wake-up call when somebody gets a big-time touchdown, meaningful touchdown, called back.
Oh, there won't be any digesting about it when it comes to this rule. When your team is affected by this rule, there'll be a lot of puking involved, no digesting. I don't like it at all, honestly. I think when it's up to that referee to decide what's taunting and what isn't, it becomes a judgment call and not something that's purely technical. So I could see this being the biggest storyline of the year if it affects some really big games. And I could easily see you and I, when we meet every Wednesday or whenever we're able to discuss this past weekend's games, you never know. We could spend an entire show talking about how a game was decided on a single play via this new taunting rule. I could easily see that happening a couple times this year.
Well, my number one storyline of 2011 is a fruition of what we experienced in the summer of 2010, and that is, of course, all the rumblings around college football expansion now actually becoming real, and you have Colorado going to the Pac-12 along with Utah from the Mountain West, and you have Nebraska completing the 12-team conference now in the Big Ten, where they have the different divisions lined off. So I think that's going to be a big storyline this year, is to see how these conferences react and how much they are improved or is it to their detriment that they expanded? I think it'll be to the improvement of all the teams, of all the conferences that added. But how about the Mountain West that lost Utah, lost BYU to become an independent, and is going to lose TCU? I'm interested to see how that conference is knocked down a couple notches. In the Big Ten now, you have Wisconsin, Penn State, Ohio State, Purdue, Illinois, and Indiana in one side. And don't ask me which one's the leaders and the losers or legends or whatever they're calling them, because I don't know. And the other side is Michigan State, Nebraska, Michigan, Iowa, Minnesota, and Northwestern. So I think that's pretty competitively balanced there in the Big Ten. I think they did a pretty good job with that. In the Pac-12, these are the two divisions. You have Utah, Arizona, Colorado, USC, Arizona State, and UCLA on one side. That's the South. And in the North, you have Stanford, Oregon, California, Washington, Washington State, and Oregon State. And I think that is going to be interesting to see how that plays out, too. So I think conference expansion and the new complexion of the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and the Mountain West is going to be a talking point this year. And you also cannot forget about the other conference that was left to die, so to speak, and that is the Big 12 that only has 10 teams now, and they have no conference championship, and they'll all be playing 9-game schedules. So I think it's going to be interesting to see conference expansion and how it affects this season.
Yeah, I really like the pick to be the number one storyline of the year. I think that's totally and completely relevant and something everyone will definitely be looking out for. For the most part, these conferences that did expand did improve from it and will improve from it in the future. Big 12 being one of those that was kind of left a little empty-handed. It's going to be interesting to see what they do down the line. There's some rumblings here and there on how true they are. They could be totally false about Texas A&M maybe flirting with the idea of making an exit from the Big 12 because of the Longhorn Network and that. But I think the Pac-12 scored here. They're probably one of the biggest winners. I think Nebraska to the Big Ten is huge, and they could win it in their first year there. So it's going to be so fun to watch, and it's more or less part of the evolution of college football. You know, there's – I don't want to say conference expansion and changes in that are inevitable, but, I mean, we saw it years and years and years ago when you and I were – I don't even know if we were born when you had the old Southwest Conference. Yeah. I mean, that thing eventually just dissolved. So – and then you had Arkansas leave that conference, one of the first to leave that conference and join the SEC. So it's always interesting to see these new changes.
It is, and I think you're absolutely right. And I look forward to seeing it next year and how it will play out this year, and how it will play out. And then next year as the even more expansion goes on. And I don't think we've heard the last of conference expansion in the least. I think over the next couple years, several years, we will see it continuing to evolve until I think we have an entirely different looking format, and it'll be interesting to watch as always. Well, the beat goes on as we roll on here on the program. We are now, I think, 4 weeks away from college football yep. season. Today is Thursday, so we are exactly 4 weeks away from the first night of college football season 2011. Getting here soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. 30 days, but who's counting?
All right.
It's going to be fun.
All right, Robert. Well, thanks so much for being with us, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah, man. Same time next week. Appreciate it. We'll see you then.
All right, this is the Bun Sports Show. Have a great weekend.